Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Women's running, running, running. Women's running stories. You are listening to Women's Running Stories, the podcast where exceptional women runners share inspirational stories about their running experiences. I am Cherie Louise Turner. I am the host and producer of Women's Running Stories, and I'm also a runner. And this episode is an update of the Over 50 Sub 20 5K project, where I am tracing my journey to run under 20 minutes in the 5K in my 50s. I am currently 54 years old, and I am calling this phase of the journey the power of belief. This is the fourth episode in this series, and if you haven't listened to the previous episodes, you can go back and do that. You'll get more context and details about what has happened so far, but it is not completely necessary to go back and listen to all of those before you listen to this one. This episode will focus on what has happened since the last episode, which came out in early January. And I am so excited to get into it. When I started this series, I remember thinking like, ooh, I hope there's enough to talk about with these updates. And wow, there are no shortage of lessons or experiences or aha moments that I just get really excited to talk about. And this last few months, it has absolutely been no exception on that front. There are a couple of moments in particular that have been really pivotal, and I'll get into it. Like, I'll get into why I wrote to my coach, Verity, about a month ago and said, this process has begun to feel like soul searching. Yeah, things are getting deep. But before I get into this update, I do want to let you know that there is a reason why this episode is coming out on this day. Today is March 25th, and 4 years ago today, I launched the very first episode of Women's Running Stories. Back then, it was called Strides Forward. I did a name change a while back because I just wanted to be more direct about what this podcast is all about. I am as excited as ever to keep this podcast going, so you have a lot to look forward to. Expect to keep seeing episodes every single Friday. There are so many great episodes coming up. The schedule is getting full. And I want to thank you for being here. I've said this many, many times because it's always true. I love making these episodes, but the power in them rests in you listening. So thank you so much for being here. The audience is growing, and I just am so thrilled. I also want to thank all of the women who have shared their stories. This is a gift, and that is something I am always thankful for. These stories are incredible because there are so many women doing so many incredible things in the running space, and I just feel so lucky to bring their stories out into the world. And I'm super, super thankful that they give me their time and they share their experiences. So thank you to all of the guests who have been on Women's Running Stories. And I am so excited for all of the guests to come. So yeah, happy anniversary to the podcast. I also wanted to let you know, in conjunction with this anniversary and having to do with this sub 20-minute 5K project, today, I am launching an Instagram account that is dedicated solely to the sub 20-minute 5K pursuit. You can find it at over 50 sub 20 underscore 5K underscore project. So over 50 sub 20 underscore 5K underscore project. There you're going to find more details and context about what is going on with this project, especially in between these episodes. And I will keep making episodes every few months, but I wanted a place to share more about this journey. So please come on over. And on the note of social media, you can always find me at the Instagram account for the podcast that is at Women's Running Stories. And you can find me on Facebook. I've been much more active there recently. I do have a Facebook page for the podcast, and there is a private group that you are welcome to come join. Find the links for all of that in the show notes. And yeah, please come join me. Again, the new Instagram account that will be following this sub 20 minute 5K project in more detail is at over 50 sub 20 underscore 5K underscore project. Now, returning to the sub 20 minute 5K project. First of all, I did want to address why I wanted to do this. I don't know that I've ever actually addressed this on the podcast before, and it came up in conversation with a friend of mine recently. She was just like, well, what's the significance of breaking 20 minutes? This is a friend of mine who is not in the running world, and I thought this was a really good question because why? And quite frankly, it started out because 20 minutes, it's a nice round number, and it's also really hard. And I knew that in concept. Now that I am more involved in this project, I realize this is a pretty audacious goal. But from the minute I approached my coach Verity about this, she showed such a confidence in my ability to get this done that I was like, all right, I'm just doing this thing. But in the grand scheme of things, I do realize 20 minutes is just an arbitrary time. It sounds great. It's difficult. There is nothing particularly magical about 20 minutes. It is running a pace of 6 minutes and 25 seconds per mile. That roughly translates to just under 4 minutes per kilometer. And it's a goal that a lot of people aim for. Because, it's challenging. It's particularly challenging, I will add, for an older woman athlete. So to do this in my 50s, it's a good challenge. And it is just far enough out of my comfort zone where I knew I was going to have to stretch myself. And that is exactly what is happening here. So let me just give you a recap of what has happened since the beginning of this project up until where I left off with the last update, which was in January. This project really got going in July of last year. Earlier in the year, I ran the Boston Marathon. I followed that up in June with the Comrades Marathon, which is a 56-mile hilly road race in South Africa. And that put an end to the chapter of me running longer distances like the marathon and ultras. So I got my first training schedule launching into this new shorter, faster distance project in mid-July. And by the end of August, I had set what I'm calling my baseline. I went out and I ran a current day PR of 21:10. I surprised the heck out of myself. It was a magical, magical race. I had no idea I was going to run that fast. And it felt like a really great starting point to work from. In my entire life, the fastest I have ever run a 5K is 20 minutes and 19 seconds, and that was some 10 or so years ago. So running a 21:10, it was great. After that, I kept at my training, I did some races, I made some progress, I made some mistakes, I learned some lessons. I was progressing, going through the process of going after a big goal. And then, at the beginning of November, I had a very strange non-running accident where a glass landed directly at the base of my left Achilles tendon, and that took almost 2 full months to heal. In the interim, I was able to get back to running, but I did not have a training schedule and I wasn't doing any formal workouts. I did get to some speed stuff here and there, and I was testing out the injury to see how it was coming along time and again. So I wasn't completely off of running, but I wasn't training with any sort of purpose or structure. And that brings us up to where I left off at the end of the last episode. Now let's get into this update. So yes, this spans the period starting in early January up until now, the end of March. Now, one thing that did happen between the time that I recorded the last episode and when it came out about a week later was that I set a personal best time in the parkrun. Now, I have run parkrun. At that point, I had run it over 150 times. I've been doing parkruns for years. And as a reminder, parkruns are free, weekly, timed 5Ks. And mind you, these aren't formal races, but you know, they are timed, and I have really given good efforts at many, many park runs. Sometimes I run them slower, sometimes I run them faster, but there have been many occasions where I have really kind of given it my all. And on that day in late December, I ran 22:05 and completely shocked myself. I was still coming off of my injury, and on that day, I did decide, like, I'm just going to push it a little bit and see how things feel. And I had some other friends. I kind of knew what times they were going after, and so I sort of kept them in my sights. But other than that, I really had no expectations. I wasn't intending on setting a personal best time. So, surprise! And then I was back with my coach, Verity Breen, back to structured training, back to formal workouts. And the first thing on the agenda was run a 1 mile time trial. And I realized this was to set the baseline. Like, where was I at after this injury, after this long recovery period? And I ran a 6:27, which was promising. Now, I did fully realize that to run a sub 20-minute 5K, I need to average miles that are 6 minutes and 25 seconds. So clearly, I had a lot of work to do, but I was feeling optimistic, and that week I wrote to Verity, so this feels like a solid place to start building back from, and that's exactly where we were at. And I got back to it. I got back to my regular training, which more or less looks like 6 days of running per week, 1 day off, 2 of those days are speed work, 1 day is a long run, and the rest of it are shorter runs with some pickups, like 30-second strides type of thing. I also do a couple days of strength training, and I do lots of movement exercises, like sort of PT type stuff, kind of throughout the day just to keep my body moving well. So a lot of dynamic stretching and things like that. And I've been really into foot exercises recently, so I've thrown that into the mix. So I was back to it. I had my starting point. I was also excited to get back to racing. And the first race I put on my racing schedule was a 5K that took place on February 11th. And something to know about this 5K is this was on the very same course that I set my current PR on back in August. That was when I set the baseline for this whole project, and it was 21:10. So I was looking forward to it, but I also realized that I was a little bit stressed out about this because I wanted to set a new PR. I knew the course and I knew that it was fast. And so I was sort of excited, but also stressed out. So as I was approaching this race, I just thought, you know, I'm gonna apply my positive mental attitude and I'm gonna get to that start line and it's gonna click. I'm just gonna be open to possibilities. And I did do all of those things, but in hindsight, I also know I was putting pressure on myself to perform. And when the gun went off and I expected this magic to happen, that I would suddenly click into this running really fast and feeling awesome like I had the last time I had run on this course, instead of that, I did not feel great. I wasn't running particularly fast. And within the first mile, my breathing had gotten totally out of control. It had gone into sort of this panic panting, and I realized that this was going sideways. I did manage to rein things in a bit. I focused on settling in to a pace. I focused on controlling my breathing. I focused on trying to turn around these thoughts that were going on in my head about this is not my day, this is not going the way that I wanted it to, just all the rumbling that goes on. And I got all of that somewhat under control, but by the time that I was able to wrangle all of that, I was coming into the third mile, which I did run well. I negative split the race. I focused until the very, very end, and I did give it all that I had, and I ran a 21:35, which, look, it is not a bad time, but it wasn't what I had set out to do, and furthermore, I knew that I could have run better. So I was frustrated, and I chalked it up as a good workout and a good effort, but giving it some thought over the next few days, I realized that something had just gone sideways for me, and I was having a hard time putting my finger on it. I do like to find the upsides even to situations where things did not go well, but this one was really not sitting well with me because I knew there was something at the core of what had gone on that I really needed to give a good look at. So I did have some really helpful exchanges with my coach, Verity, and we identified some key issues, and one of them was race anxiety. And this, for me, is separate from having a positive mindset, which by and large, I have gotten pretty good at. It's not 100%. I'm not perfect at it, but it is worlds better than it was, say, a year ago. But race anxiety is something different. And what I realized looking back on that race day was that I ended up showing up to the line sort of emotionally void. I described it as being emotionally flat. There was just some part of me that did not show up that day. And I realized it was connected to pressure that I was putting on myself, to expectation, and all of that just really weighed on me. And on some energetic level, I was just exhausted by the time I got to the start line. I also realized that that breathing that I was experiencing in that first mile, that wasn't effort, that was anxiety. It was panicky and fearful, and I needed to start to address this in a really real way. So one of the first things that we addressed was really, truly getting on board with this project. You know, and Verity pointed out to me, you know, it is one thing to say, I want to do this. I want to reach this goal. It is another thing to be totally committed. I needed to sit down with myself and really, truly, 100% get on board, not only with my commitment. I mean, I'm committed to this project. There's no doubt about that. But it was more about the belief in myself and the confidence that I am going to be able to get there. And there was some of that that was missing. I mean, running 6:25s is fast. I've never run that fast in my life over this distance. So it, you know, it's a tall order for me. And I know that there are these little parts of me that think like, I'm going to train well and I'm going to magically show up and I'm going to be able to run this sub 20-minute 5K. And you know what? At some point, that will happen. But there are some barriers that I need to cross before I'm going to get to that point. And yeah, addressing this issue of sort of panicking and fear and race anxiety, this was going to be a key hurdle that I have to get over in order to be able to reach this goal. And you know, I do these weekly summaries that I send to Verity every Sunday. And I'm just going to read you a little bit from the summary that I sent her as I was thinking through all of this. And I wrote, this process has begun to feel like soul searching and a lot about trust and belief. It's cool, but it's definitely not a cakewalk. I know when I think about it that I expected this goal to come with less, let's say, struggle. Not that I ever expected this process to be easy. I just didn't expect it to dig up as much as it's digging up. And I guess what I mean by saying that is that I really thought it was going to be mostly about the physical work. And while that's a lot of it, and I do have some more work to do in that realm, something that has become abundantly clear is that the element that's really going to get me over the line is belief and trust in myself. And so with those thoughts in mind, I started to look around for some resources, and I listened to an interview with a woman named Dr. Carolyn Leaf, and she was talking about her book, Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. It was on the Self-Care Simplified podcast. And the way she was talking about processing, well, your mental mess really resonated with me. And she has sort of this 5-step process that involves journaling. And I have been journaling very regularly now using her ideas, and it has been really effective. But going back to the aftermath of this race and having reflected on it, I wanted to get to work putting some new strategies into place to address this race anxiety, which really is performance anxiety. And I didn't have to wait very long to address this because the very next week on my training schedule was a workout that I really wanted to nail, and I knew it was gonna be really tough. It was 3x1 mile. And tackling that workout was definitely enough to kick up my performance anxiety. So I decided to approach it like a race and give myself the best shot at making it a success. I drove to the local parkrun course that I know really well, and the beginning of it has a slight downhill, so I knew that would give me a little bit of a boost at the start of each one of these intervals and sort of kickstart my self-confidence. Also, beforehand, I made sure to dress in clothing that made me feel fast. I put on my old racing shoes that I use for speed work, and I listen to sort of my new anthem songs. It's this rapper, NF. And there are 2 songs in particular that I really, really love. One of them is called Hope, and the other one is called The Search. And in particular, in The Search, he has these 2 lines that really resonate with me. The point I'm making is the mind is a powerful place, and what you feed it can affect you in a powerful way. It's pretty cool, right? Yeah, so the point I'm making is the mind is a powerful place, and what you feed it can affect you in a powerful way. And wow, didn't that apply to my current situation? So I was pumped up on anthem music. I was dressed for the occasion. And in my warm-up, my legs did not feel that great. They were a little bit tired. But I had decided I was only going to focus on getting the job done. I wasn't going to think about my tired legs. I wasn't going to think about anything else. I was going to think about, I know that I can work hard. I know that I don't quit. I know that I'm going to see each one of these mile repeats through to the end. And I was determined that I was not going to be disappointed with these efforts, regardless of what the watch said. I was determined to absolutely focus 100% on the effort, give my very, very best, so that I could be satisfied knowing I had done everything I could on that day. And you know what? It wasn't pretty. My breathing wasn't perfect. But I was so determined, and I got it done, and I had some confidence in myself. I told myself to believe in what I was doing, and I really did. I absolutely just wouldn't let myself doubt my abilities, second guess my determination, none of that. I was just determined to grab onto some self-confidence and really go all in on it. And it made a difference. And I know it's just one workout, but it was really pivotal in so many ways because it set the tone for a way to approach hard workouts, and it really worked. So it was starting, I realize now, to build these habits that I can apply to my workouts and also start applying to my racing. Because again, this anxiety that I have around race performance, well, it definitely shows up for these key workouts. So if I can practice overcoming this in workouts, it's going to make it that much easier to overcome it in racing. One other note about this workout that really struck me is that even though I didn't feel particularly terrific on that day, and my times, I mean, they were good, but they weren't awesome. Regardless, I came away from those efforts literally feeling lighter. I did not feel overly fatigued. I felt good. I felt tired, but I felt good. And it really felt like I had gotten rid of some baggage. So yeah, that workout, it was a total success. And that set me up to be able to approach my next big anxiety provoker, and that is having somebody pace me. And I will tell you that now that this performance anxiety is like in my sights as something that I know I need to overcome, I notice all the places that it pops up. And indeed, one of the places it crops up is pacing. And my husband is a great pacer. He has offered to pace me in the past, and it has caused me extreme anxiety. I normally say no. But when he offered to pace me in my next mile time trial, which came at the end of February, I thought this is a perfect time to practice overcoming performance anxiety yet again. And I said yes. And we decided that he would pace me at an evening workout that we were having with our club. It's a tempo workout, and I could just jump in with his group, which goes a bit faster, and I could do the first mile of this tempo workout with him pacing me. It was going to be perfect. But mind you, everybody else on the track is just running their regular weekly workout. Some of the people in our club are way faster than me, and so for them, running these times, it's just another Friday. So the whistle blows, and after about the first lap of this effort, another friend of ours, Steven, catches wind of what is happening, and he joins in to the pacing effort, and it's two laps, and it's three laps, and we're on pace for a really good time. And I finish up, and afterwards, my husband pointed out to me that that was, indeed, the fastest mile I've ever run in my life. And even now, it gets me a bit emotional because there was something about accepting that support and then having our friend jump in and join in the support. It just really hit me. It felt so nice not to be worried about what they might think about my abilities and just really appreciate that they were there because they believed I could do this. They wanted to help me. They had confidence in my abilities. And I did it. And I did it because they helped me. And I don't know, there was just something about that whole situation that really, really struck me. And yeah, I mean, it was wrapped up in I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to perform and somehow that would reflect poorly on me. And instead, I just dropped that whole narrative and all the exhaustion that comes with that. And I appreciated the support. I leaned on the support and I succeeded. It was wonderful. And I am so excited for the next time I get to do that. And I'm really thankful for my husband and for our friend. And yeah, it felt like a turning point. And it was sort of funny as I sat there and watched everybody else finish their workouts to think, what a monumental event this was for me on just another rainy night at the track. But wow, for so many reasons, it felt like a victory. So the time there was 6:22, which, hoorah, is actually faster than the pace I'm going to need to run to break 20 minutes in the 5K. So that also felt like a bit of a victory. I had a piece of the puzzle in place. Now, of course, I have to repeat an effort close to that two more times, plus 0.1 miles, but I am getting there. And I did write to Verity afterwards that this is starting to feel like a big puzzle. And I am finding the pieces one by one and starting to put them in place. There's the physical speed of it. There's the mental part of it. There's the overcoming anxiety part of it. There's the breathing. There's the ritual beforehand of dressing the part, of listening to the anthem songs. There are all these pieces that I know at some point are going to all come together. There's also the pacing part of it, which I have not nailed yet. And here I mean me being able to regulate my own pace, especially in a race effort, where I tend to get a little too excited at the beginning and then I fade at the end. Since that night when I set that mile PR, I have run a 4-mile race. I PR'd there, but my pacing was pretty atrocious. I really wanted to go for it, so I blasted out with a super fast first mile, and wow, that was fun. But oh my gosh, did I pay the price at the end. My last mile was miserable, and I was kind of bummed afterward because I had really wanted to have a great last mile, and I mean, I gave it absolutely everything, but I was going backwards. And my husband, who is always great at having some perspective on these things, said, I think you actually PR'd. I think you actually had a pretty good race. And of course, he was right. And after I gave it some thought, I was like, yeah, that was a pretty good effort. I mean, I could have done a little better on the pacing, but you know, a PR is always a PR. And then just last weekend, I set a new PR at the park run. And that was another wonky situation. My watch completely malfunctioned. I thought I was running way slower than I actually was. I got frustrated. I thought I might be over-fatigued because I was giving a big effort. And the pace that was showing up on my watch did not reflect the effort I thought I was giving. Lo and behold, I was running much faster than I thought I was. And what a mind jumble that whole thing was. And the big takeaway there, stop relying so much on my watch. Because as I was fretting about the numbers on my watch, I wasn't focusing on the task at hand, which was just run. So that is a new focus going into this next phase, really dialing in this effort and pacing part of this puzzle without relying so heavily on my watch. And of course, I will continue to work on all of the elements that are going into this whole project. And encompassing all of those puzzle pieces is one key element that I now have, and that is belief. I absolutely know and I absolutely believe that this is going to happen and I can do it, and I have conviction about that. And that is really, really freeing. It's just going to take some time, and I am going to keep chipping away. The next race on my schedule is April 10th. It's a flat, fast, local 5K, and I will be taking all of my tools with me to the starting line.
Yeah.
So that is going to do it for this update. I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for listening. I am Cherie Louise Turner. I am the host and producer of Women's Running Stories. And until this coming Friday, I do wish you joyful, healthy, confident strides forward.
Women's Running, Running, Running.
Running stories.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.